laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they're starving or freezing or so very poor. No one laughs at God when a doctor calls after some routine tests. No one's laughing at God when it's gotten real late and their kid's not back from that party yet. No one's laughing at God when their airplane starts to uncontrollably shake. No one's laughing at God when they see the one they love hand in hand with someone else and they hope that they're mistaken. No one laughs at God when the cops knock on their door and they say, I've got some bad news, sir. No one's laughing at God when there's a famine or a fire or a flood. But God can be funny at a cocktail party while listening to a good God-themed joke. Or when the crazy say he hates us and they get so red in the head, you think they're about to choke. God can be funny when told he'll give you money if you just pray the right way. Or when presented like a genie who does magic like Houdini. Or grants wishes like Jiminy Cricket and Santa Claus. God can be so hilarious, ha ha. Ha ha. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they've lost all they've got and they don't know what for. No one laughs at God on the day they realize the last sight they'll ever see is a pair of hateful eyes. No one's laughing at God when they're saying their goodbyes. But God can be funny at a cocktail party when listening to a good God-themed joke. Or when the crazy say he hates us and they get so red in the head you think they're about to choke. God can be funny when told he'll give you money if you just pray. Like a genie who does magic like Houdini, or grants wishes like Jiminy Cricket and Santa Claus. God can be so hilarious. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God in a hospital. No one's laughing at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they're starving or freezing. So very poor. No one's laughing at God. No one's laughing at God. No one's laughing at God. We're all laughing with God.
We give our special gratitude for the flowers this morning, who are from Jill Homer in memory of her friend Judy King. A reading this morning comes from Chris Stedman, who is an atheist who's very involved in interfaith work. Chris talks about this idea of creating his own personal canon of texts. And as a Unitarian Universalist, I can't help but find myself drawn to this idea. I have no Bible, no sacred text to draw from, but I have a multitude of other sources. Among them, I count many things, movies, songs, books, quotes, things people have said to me in passing. And I'm sure that if you took a moment right now to think about those songs and books and movies and quotes that held that place in your life, you could too. And for me, this song that we just heard that Su Yan and Sarah sang and played so beautifully is one of those songs. Part of my personal canon. That first line, "No one's laughing at God in a hospital." Last summer, when I was walking away from my job as a chaplain at Brigham and Women's Hospital, I heard those words through my headphones. And sure, I had heard that song before, but I had never really listened to the words before. And I'm sure that you've had this experience. Suddenly, a song just hits you in a different way. As if you needed to hear just those words at just that moment. And this was one of these moments for me. Here I was listening to these words on this hot summer day, walking away from a hospital. No one's laughing at God in a hospital. And I, walking away from a hospital where I was a chaplain, where in some way I was representing God, and I don't mean as a prophet or Jesus or something like that, or even as a clergy member, as God's representative, the way that some religions might see clergy. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is more symbolic than that. I was representing, in a way, the church, representing religion, representing people's relationship with God, or people's relationship with this concept of God. Be that antagonistic, or favorable, or just plain apathetic. I can't tell you how many times I walked into a room and was called Father, though I am by no definition that word. I am not ordained, I am not Catholic, but that's what people expected when they saw me walk in. A man as God's representative. Which was a funny feeling for a guy who was president of his college's atheist club. A funny feeling for a guy who, if you really get right down to it, might even still be an atheist. A funny feeling for a guy who, despite being in seminary, confessed to his supervisor that praying made him more than a little nervous. But of course, it wasn't funny in a humorous way, because no one is laughing at God in a hospital. Which is not to say that I've never laughed at God. Here, let's try a God-themed joke. In the beginning, there was nothing. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. There was still nothing, but you could see it a whole lot better. Funny, okay, I'm not sure how that would go over. I actually Googled jokes about God for you. Do you have any idea how hard it is to find a joke about God that's not sexist or racist or homophobic or too risque to share in church? And Regina Spektor in this song says in the chorus this: God can be funny. Like at a cocktail party when listening to a good God-themed joke. Or when the crazies say he hates us and they get so red in the head, you think they're about to choke. Now let me truncate that second part for you before I take multitudes of issues with it. God can be funny when the crazies say he hates us and they get so red in the head, you think they're about to choke. So, yes, I take issue with the word crazy here from a mental health standpoint. And I also take issue with the word he. As much as I believe or don't believe in God, I can tell you that God is most certainly not a man. But putting that aside, what if the us in this sentence, the people that they say God hates, what if the us in this statement are the people who work at Planned Parenthood? Or the people that go to Planned Parenthood? What if the people who say God hates us have bombs or guns? And what if they kill us? I don't think anybody's laughing at God then. Now, friends, it's too early to tell if these were the motives of the man who shot and killed three people at Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs on Friday, but that's where my mind went. It's got to be an act of Christian terrorism, I thought. That was my first thought, and we don't know. But I can tell you the people prayed. While Planned Parenthood was in a hostage situation, people prayed. People are still praying. Christians are praying. Muslims are praying. Unitarian Universalists are praying. I prayed. Maybe not even knowing what that meant. And if you didn't pray, if you didn't get on your knees, literatively or figuratively, and prayed to whatever god or gods or spirit or to the universe or to the rest of humanity, I bet you weren't laughing at those of us who were. Prayer doesn't depend on some kind of strong belief. Sometimes prayer is what you do when you can't think of anything else. So I say to this song, this my personal canon, this song I played for you all, that sure, God can be funny when people are saying that God hates us, but not when people are dying because of it. And so when she says, no one laughs at God in a hospital and no one laughs at God in a war. I find that interesting because it's not that many people in a hospital still have no use for God. When I was working as a chaplain, there were countless rooms I walked into and was greeted with a polite no thank you. Others where the patient or family smiled and just said that they were atheists. Others still were when I walked into the room and they asked me what denomination I came from and I said Unitarian Universalist, they said, oh, well, that's okay. That's not really a religion. Why don't you come in? And as much as I may have laughed at that statement, no one, not a single person, ever laughed at me for being there. But I wouldn't confuse not laughing at with lack of annoyance. Still, these words stick with me. No one's laughing at God in a hospital. No one's laughing at God in a war. And I think of it as a bit of a softer version of Regina Spektor's of the expression, there are no atheists in foxholes. I'm sure you've heard this expression, the idea that at times of stress, everyone prays to something. And it's been objected to by many prominent atheist organizations for its inaccuracy. And it's true, there are indeed atheists in foxholes. Just like there are atheists in hospitals, among the doctors and the nurses and the family, and even among those close to death. But no one is laughing at you if you aren't. No one says to a dying woman, your prayers are frivolous, even if they believe it. But it's not because there's no laughter in hospitals. I can tell you that there is. I think what's important about this song's usage of laughter is that distinction between laughing at someone and laughing with them. Perhaps many of us have experienced this feeling. I distinctly remember being in middle school and having some friends of mine say to my face when I asked them why they were laughing, oh, Otto, we're laughing at you, not with you. Ouch. To laugh at God, or maybe more accurately, to laugh at someone's God, carries with it a similar connotation, doesn't it? For our gods are personal. And in times of war, in times of stress, in times of tragedy, they are who we turn to. Tell me about the God you don't believe in. I probably don't believe in him either. It is always a hymn, isn't it? When I became a Unitarian Universalist, I was living in a college dormitory, and a young man who lived there asked me about my newfound religion one day. Oh, he said, that's the church where you can believe whatever you want. He didn't say it like it was a good thing. I was new to Unitarian Universalism, so I said, I guess so, in a less than confident manner. Well, here's what I know, he said. God is like your father. He loves all of his children, but he wants to be called the right name. Your dad wouldn't like it if you called him mom, right? Same with God. I knew I didn't agree with him, but it felt pointless to keep talking. In that moment, it felt like what divided us was so fundamental that it was hard for me to understand. And then I hear our governor saying things like, I'm not interested in accepting refugees from Syria. And when I heard these words, I found myself again falling into this divide. I imagined those families and those children's looking for a place to land. And him saying, I'm not interested, in the way you might say you're not interested in going to that movie or the score of that sports game. As if lives aren't hanging in the balance. No one's laughing at God when you're starving or freezing or so very poor. And I wonder about those families fleeing their homes, who now sleep on the streets, wherever they can, and I wonder, how do they pray? And who do they pray to? I wonder who our governor prays to, and I wonder who I pray to, and I wonder what is praying at all. I just prayed with you. Just 10 minutes ago, I prayed for the spirit of life. I prayed to the source of all. I prayed for those Syrian refugees. I prayed for the five who were shot at a Black Lives Matter protest. I prayed for the victims of the Planned Parenthood shooting in Colorado Springs. I prayed to God. And regardless of my conception of God, I prayed. This maybe atheist prayed with all of you. And not one of you laughed. You may have gathered this by now, but this sermon isn't about God. At least it's not a sermon that tries to define God. Part of the beauty of being a Unitarian Universalist is that we welcome multitudes of conceptions of God, from a personal being God to a God who breathes in us, to multiple gods and goddesses, to no God at all. And one of my favorite things about being a Unitarian Universalist is that I don't get to come up here and tell you what, if anything, you should believe about God. In fact, as a religion without a creed, a religion based on this idea of pluralism, we are a religion that believes and thinks that many of these can coexist. At a Unitarian Universalist congregation, you might have an atheist sitting next to a Christian, or a Jew sitting next to a Muslim, or a Hindu sitting next to a Buddhist. In theory, at least. And all of these people would identify as Unitarian Universalists. But what happens when you put many people in a room who disagree about something as emotionally charged and personal as God? You have to put yourself aside. For a moment, you have to have the humility to accept that what you think might not be what's right. You have to bring yourself just for this 1 hour not to laugh at someone else's God, or lack thereof. This service began this morning with the lighting of this Advent candle, a candle that we light for hope. Advent is a season in the Christian tradition, the time where Christians, I should say, wait for the arrival of Christ. And our first hymn this morning was a Christian Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. Listen closely as I recite to you the first verse. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Okay, so that's not what we sung this morning. Those are the original words of the first verse of that hymn. And I wonder how many of you are more familiar with these words than the ones we sang this morning. I can tell you that in some circles, in many circles, we UUs are given a bad rap for changing so many words of these beloved hymns. Many of you may even fall in that camp. Why do we change them? To take out gendered language, to take out references to the Lord and to Christ and to Jesus. There is this idea that we change them because we are afraid of offending the atheists among us. Yet we left in the most blatant reference to God in this song, Emmanuel. This word literally means God is with us in Hebrew. What I find fascinating about the rewriting of this hymn is how the removal of the reference to the Son of God actually changes the theological meaning of the song. So I'm going to ask you to open up your hymnals with me. Hymn number 225. And read with me, if you will, that first verse. O come, Emmanuel, and with your captive children dwell. Give comfort to all exiles here, and that to the aching heart bid cheer. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come within as love to dwell. The song no longer becomes just about the historic people of Israel trapped in the Babylonian exile, but about God being with us now and bringing comfort to all exiles. The verse ends by stating that God will come within us as love, not as Christ. And I think we can use some love. On Friday night, as I watched the news of this man shooting at Planned Parenthood, and I prayed, I didn't know who I was praying to or to what God I was praying for. I prayed for a world where this kind of thing doesn't happen. And what's scary is that sometimes the people who commit these crimes are praying too. They are praying to some God that they believe agrees with them, to some God that believes that killing is the solution. And in times like these, we know that our prayers are not enough. No one is laughing at God in this situation. And as Unitarian Universalists, where do we have to turn? Where do we call for help? At the hospital last summer, I walked into the room of a man and his wife. I asked them if they wanted a chaplain. The woman looked me straight in the eye and said, "Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" I didn't want to disappoint her. And maybe more than that, I didn't want to be rejected. I didn't want her to tell me that I wasn't Christian enough. In my insecurity, I stumbled to answer her. Well, I'm a Unitarian Universalist, and we believe in the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. I know, not a smart move to claim that we Unitarian Universalists believe any one thing. The woman looked at me. I asked her if she still wanted to pray. "Yes," she said, much to my surprise. We prayed. She might have thought that this little chaplain was going to hell, but we prayed. We prayed together, and in that moment, we were connected beyond our vastly different beliefs, beyond my fear of her and my fear of prayer. And as you go into this world this week, my friends, this world that sees so much pain and suffering, maybe you will pray. Because we don't know what else there is. And the only thing that I can say we have to have is grace. Grace is a theological concept that means a divine influence which inspires us to be virtuous and inspires us to practice humility. Through all of our disagreements about who or what God is or isn't, we can show grace by remaining humble in our beliefs and understanding that we don't always know what's right and good and best. We can show grace by respecting the beliefs of those we disagree with, be they in the pew next to us or in the world. We can denounce acts of violence and yet know that these acts are not the fault of any one religion or way of thinking. Most Muslims are not ISIS. Most Christians are not the Planned Parenthood shooter. Let us not be among those who are laughing at God. Rather, let our uncertainty make us humble. Let our grace be the practice of that humility. And let us find hope from a love that dwells in each of us. May it be so, and amen.